Tzom Gedalia is the fast for Gedalia, the son of Achikam. The Torah, the book of Ezra tells us that there was a governor that was put in place by the Babylonian king after destruction of the first temple. The king of Babel did not want to destroy Israel completely. He wanted to subjugate Israel. He wanted to collect taxes. And he put a governor in place after he destroyed the temple, and he took the Jews into captivity to Babel, to Babylonia, Iraq. He put a governor in place who was a righteous person. His name was Gedalia, who was a righteous person, who was a tzaddik. And at that time, the intrigue, the political intrigue from the Jewish side was, which world power should you side with? Should you side with the Babylonians, be loyal to the Babylonians? Because the Jews were losing the grip. They didn't have the power to rise up against the other world powers. Like Israel today, you can't just do whatever you want, Israel today. Even though if they did, they probably would be fine. But Israel today always felt that between Russia and the United States and Europe and certain world powers, so you have to be mindful of the world powers. You don't want to get them angry because they're going to then not support you, et cetera, et cetera. All the same political issues and real issues. So at that time, it was Egypt versus Babylon, the Egyptians versus the Babylonians. And the Jews were torn. There was a large number of Jews who felt that the Egyptians are going to be their salvation. And there was a large number of Jews who said, no, we have the Babylonians are more powerful. And if we get them angry, they're going to wipe us out. And in fact, the true prophets at that time were telling the Jews, listen to the Babylonians, do not anger them. And the fake prophets were false prophets who were telling the Jews, no, the Egyptians are the way to go. And that's what happened. So the Babylonians won, of course, and they did battle against the Jewish people. And our Gemara tells us that the reason that they won was not because they were so high and mighty, because Hashem wanted to punish us. And it's a very strong story that we read, that Hashem said to us that 70 years you're going to go into exile because you didn't keep the Shemitah properly. You didn't keep the years of letting the land rest and not working the land. You didn't believe in me during the 410 years of the first temple. And you let the 70 Shemitahs, and during that period of time, you didn't properly treat it right. So you're going to go into Golos for 70 years. And the whole prophecy is exactly 70 years. And that's what happened. In fact, the reason we fast today is because the governor, whose name was Gedalia, they mentioned, was assassinated on the day of Rosh Hashanah, believe it or not, at a party by another Jew whose name was Yishmael, believe it or not. And that's what happened. So the Gemara tells us that the day that tzaddikim are murdered is a terrible day. It's as bad as the day of the destruction of the temple. It's a very bad thing. And therefore, we fast today, the fast of Gedalia. So, that is one of the four fasts. Of course, it's connected with the structure of the temple.
So Gedalia was a tzaddik?
Gedalia, the Gemara says, was a tzaddik. Yes. The Gemara, as a matter of fact, makes the comment that, as I just mentioned, the day of tzaddikim being assassinated and going through tzaris is as bad as the day of destruction of the temple. So that's the...
Why did Hashem allow a tzaddik to be murdered?
The Jews were not worthy. The Jews were still not worthy. They didn't... The short answer is because we did it. Hashem gives us free choice. You know, why did Hashem give us free choice? Because that's what Hashem does for us. He gives us free choice. It wasn't outside influence. It was the Jews internally. We're so internally divided. This, by the way, played itself out later on again in the second Beis HaMikdash. Many years later, we're talking about 500 years later. Second Beis HaMikdash, the exile period was 70 years. And then the second Beit HaMikdash, second temple, stood for 420 years. So we're talking about almost 500 years later. Same thing, internal division amongst the Jews played itself out. And then there was a story of the Biryonim. The Biryonim means loosely translated as the zealots. But it's not just zealots. It's people who took the law, and Jews who took who took the law into their own hands. They didn't listen to the Chachamim, to the sages. And at that time, there was the same similar, not exactly because the politics were different, but it was the same type of thing. Should we submit to Rome? Because Rome was the power at that time. Meaning, should we appease Rome? Should we be nice to Rome? And if Rome wants certain things, pay taxes, be appeasing them, whatever it is, let's do it, because if not, they're going to chop our head off. They're going to destroy our country. Or should we fight Rome? Should we say, no, we're Jews, we're proud Jews, we won't give in, and let's fight? The Chachamim, the sages, said Hashem is not backing us. If Hashem would be backing us, we could fight anybody. That's for sure. We're not saying that we Jews don't have the power. We're saying the opposite. We Jews have much more power if Hashem is giving us the green light. But when Hashem doesn't give us the green light, and this is a very interesting discussion, why does Hashem want us in galus and exile? So the short answer is that we say this in our davening every time we daven Musaf. And the Musaf davening is the davening of the Shabbos or Yom Tov, where we talk about the fact that we're missing out on the sacrifices of the Beit HaMikdash because the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. So in the Musaf, as soon as we start the Musaf, we say, Hashem, mipnei chata'enu, because of our sins, galinu me'artzenu, we were kicked out of our country. And we believe that. We believe that if we would be doing what we need to be doing, meaning living the life that Hashem would like us to live, and the Torah tells us there's no enemy in the world that could stand up against you. A thousand soldiers will be chased away by one Jewish soldier. As a matter of fact, the Torah says they're going to be so afraid of you to begin with, they're not even going to come to your country. All kinds of promises we have in the Chumash. But that's the short answer. Then there's the Gemara says, and this of course teaches, and we spoke about this in the past, that there are certain missions that Hashem wants us to accomplish in the nations of the in the other countries, and that's why Hashem kicks us out. But obviously, that could happen, like in the times of Shlomo HaMelech, in the times of peace, King Shlomo HaMelech, David HaMelech, King David's son, he accomplished those missions of elevating the sparks and going out by sitting in Yerushalayim. They came to him. So the Torah tells us that when Mashiach comes, V'naharu elav kol hagoyim. All of the nations of the world will stream to the Beit HaMikdash. They're going to be like looking for the source of water. Well, what happens when a person is thirsty? You don't say, I'm going to sit in my house and I'm going to let the water come to me. It doesn't work. If you have modern plumbing, fine, you know, whatever. But you're looking for water, you're looking for gold, you're looking for money. And there's a business opportunity on the other side of the world, you travel to where it is. And that's what's going to happen when times of peace, times of goodness, times when we're doing the right thing. All the sparks, all of the missions that Hashem has for us in the world, they are going to stream to us. We're going to stay in Israel, and they will come to us. In the language of the Gemara, Israel is going to expand throughout the world, meaning the holiness of Israel will uplift the whole world. But in times when we're not doing the right thing and not living the life that Hashem wants us to live, unfortunately, then Hashem says, I'm sorry, I'm not going to make this happen for you. You're going to have to go do it yourself. And that's one of the reasons for exile. But so this is ultimately, it all boils down to the same thing. It's us taking responsibility and Jewish guilt, a lot of Jewish guilt for not acting according to how we believe we should be acting. At a certain point, however, our great leaders, the Rebbe and our great leaders before the Rebbe, all say that, Hashem, what do you want from us? You know, you think we're going to ever going to become the way you just give it to us already, because, you know, if you're expecting, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Or we say the opposite. Or we say, Hashem, you punished us so much that we are so perfect already, we may not be doing it the way you would like us to do it, but we have been purified by punishment. This is a statement of a phrase from the Tanakh, that punishment is a purification process. And Hashem, we're already past being purified. There's nothing more to be accomplished or to be gained by being in Golos. Hashem obviously doesn't agree with that. But we say that, listen, that it is genug shein, enough. So that's a very, interesting.
Rabbi,
yes.
I have a question regarding choices.
Yeah.
There are some choices that not clear, and we make the wrong choices because of circumstances or because of not having enough knowledge. But it seems to me throughout the history, there were choices that were obviously wrong. Nevertheless, they were made. Does that come from Hashem? We have to make those choices to go through this, or if you know the right choice and you still have evil inclination to do the wrong choice, what should one do to make the right choice?
So the answer is, in general in life, why would a person make a choice that they know is wrong? And we do this all the time. There's even a term for it, cognitive dissonance. Why would we do stuff that that we know is not good for us, whether on a small scale, a health thing, or not some financial decision we make that we know is wrong, but it's selfishly male motivated, or some personal or a mitzvah thing? And the answer is because we have a Yetzirah, plain and simple. Hashem gave us a Yetzirah. A Yetzirah, in another term that the Yetzirah, the evil inclination, is called Ruach Shtus. Ruach Shtus means a spirit of foolishness. The Gemara says a person does not, in English we say cognitive dissonance. It's a fancy term. It just means you don't connect the dots. You don't clearly see, a person doesn't clearly see the absolute cause and effect phenomenon. So if we were to have clarity, and we were to see that if we did this, then this would happen, absolutely 100% guaranteed, and we don't like what the result, then we would never do the first thing. So Tanya says, if we would see the fact that we are creating barriers between ourselves and our source of light by doing any avera, doesn't matter how big, the smallest avera, the Tanya said, Alter Rebbe explains, is just like worshiping an idol. Because when you worship an idol, you're saying that you are believing in another source of power. There's some other God, there's some other energy source that you can turn to besides Hashem. When a person does something on the smallest level, smallest sin, doesn't matter how big the sin is, and Hashem, you know that Hashem doesn't want you to do that, so why would you do that unless you believe that you can get away with it, that somehow Hashem is not watching, is not looking. So it's on the same type of thing. So the answer is Hashem allows this to happen in order to give us free choice. And so why do we make bad choices? We make bad choices because if not, the good choices that we would make would have no importance. They would have no validity to the fact that we have chosen. Then we would be malachim, we would be angels. So the bad choices are simply there in order to allow us to be able to reject them. And that's the story of Klipa in general. Why does Hashem create what Tanya calls klipa, all the negative energies? It's like the story, a parent says, it's the story of the king, and a parent sends the kid away to college and gives the kid strict instructions. I want you to study it. I want you to party. And this, at the same time, this parent gives the kid a credit card. And the credit card, you don't know what the kid is spending. Kid can spend on anything. So why would you give your kid a credit card and let the kid spend stuff when you yourself have just told them that you don't want them spending? And the answer is because you trust them. You're giving them choices. You're giving them the ability to go and mess up and use the card for all kinds of other stuff. But you believe that they can live up to it. And in fact, when they do live up to it, then you say you're proud of yourself. You say, look at this kid that I raised. Look at that. Even though they could have done this and that, they could have gone with this friend, that friend, spent on this, spent on that, but they didn't. They were very frugal, or they were very judicious, whatever. They acted the way I wanted them to act. So that's what Hashem wants from us. So bad choices are Hashem's way, the ability for us to make bad choices are Hashem's way of saying that He loves us. He loves us. He trusts us. Now, of course, we tend to mess up. So Hashem says to us, not only do I love you that I'm going to give you the ability to make bad choices, I'm also going to give you the ability to do teshuva. Now listen to this. It's amazing, amazing love that Hashem has for us. Hashem says, I'm going to give you the ability that if you come and you do teshuva, you say, I'm remorseful, I'm going to make up, I'm not going to do it again, and I'm going to be different in the future, and I'm asking Hashem, please, I'm sorry. Hashem says to us, I'm not going to be angry at you, I'm going to love you even more. Because I'm going to say, look at that. Look how mature you are now. And in the language of Kabbalah, I'm going to give you energy from a source that is yet higher than the energy that you would have gotten had you behaved the whole time. So instead of you having, let's say, a green American Express, I'm going to give you a gold, a platinum American. Instead of you having a credit line of 5,000, we have a credit line of 50,000. Instead of you having access to... So teshuvah is a process where Hashem says to us, I recognize that you have this ruach shtus. I recognize you have yetzahara. How do I recognize? I gave it to you. I know I created you. And we turn back and we say to Hashem on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hashem, you created us. What do you want from us? You know, you put us in the world and you put us in a situation and you put us into galus and you could have taken us back to Israel and you could have given us a Beis HaMikdash and you could have given us a Kohen Gadol. And instead, you're leaving us in Golos, and there's assimilation, and there's a oppression, and anti-Semitism, and all kinds of different forces, lack of education, very difficult to get proper Jewish education in Golos, very hard. Even in Israel, it's hard, let alone here. And what do you want from us and our children, blah, blah, so on and so forth. And we say to Hashem, we're sorry. You know, I'm sorry, I messed up. But if we're honest in that sense, and we say we're sorry we messed up, and we want... Shem says to us, I will give you energies yet higher. And that's what today is about, ultimately, the day of, first day of Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. First day of, it's not the first day, actually, the first day is Rosh Hashanah, believe it or not, which is another whole interesting discussion, that Rosh Hashanah is actually the first day of the 10 days of repentance, the 10 days of Teshuvah, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And it teaches us how to set ourselves up for that purpose. Of elevating ourselves, of using our mistakes as stepping stones to greatness. So imagine that Hashem takes our mistakes themselves and turns them into mitzvahs. Our mistakes, the mistakes itself, meaning the process of running away from spirituality, running away from closeness with Hashem. And then the process of waking up and saying, oy vey, what did I do? Well, look at me, where am I? All of a sudden, I went to sleep, and my car is about to go over the cliff. Where am I? Let me get my car back on the road. You know, I was asleep, and all of a sudden, I missed all these opportunities for investment. I don't know what happened all these years. Hashem says, no problem. You come back to me, and I will make it up for you. All of a sudden, I'm going to give you an investment that's going to make up for all the years of lack of income, lack of aggregation of capital, lack of, not aggregation, but, you know, increasing of capital, and all of these years that you could have invested from the age of 20 and now you're 99, no problem. In 1 second, I'm going to give you the whole thing again. The teshuvah energy comes from the world of Sovev Kol Alman, the Sovev world, which we spoke about in Tanya in this chapter. We're learning now the unlimited energy of Sovev, and unlimited is plain unlimited. There's no limit to unlimited. If it's unlimited, it's unlimited. So it doesn't matter if you have 1 second or if you have 10, 15 years of tshuva, as long as you properly do tshuva, obviously it's better to do it 1 minute sooner than 1 minute later. But if you properly do tshuva, you could be 99 years old, the Gemara says, and yesh kone olamo b'shah achat. It's possible to acquire your world in one second. Obviously, it's not something that you want to rely on. It's not a good practice to say, I'm going to sin all my life, and the last minute, I'm going to truly, truly repent it. It doesn't work that way. We all know this. So you chapsik some seichel in Yiddish. If you have the insight a minute earlier, that's the time to do it. And then, of course, unfortunately, there's plenty of opportunity to mess up after that. So you got to do teshuva again. Teshuva is a constant process in the davening. In our Shemona Esrei, we say, Selach lanu avinu, ki chatanu, forgive us, Hashem, because we have sin. We say this three times every single day of the week. On Shabbos, we don't think about our sins, so we don't say it on Shabbos. every day of the week. And of course, every year we have Rosh Hashanah, every year we have Yom Kippur. And these are gifts. They're gifts that Hashem gives us because Hashem loves us, because Hashem wants to give us the opportunity to restore us, first of all, to restore us to the level that we were before we did the problem, before we made the bad choice. But as I'm mentioning to you from Chassidus, it's not just restoring, it's actually greater. And it's not just Chassidus. The Gemara says, very famous quote, which you must have heard, that b'makom shabali tshuva omdim, the place where the Baal Teshuva stands, the person who does Teshuva, and this is every single Jew, doesn't have to be a person who was either raised and not keeping Shabbos and kosher or went off the path a little bit and then came back. Every Jew, the positive Jew. Matter of fact, the Zohar makes the powerful, powerful comment that when Mashiach comes, Mashiach is going to teach tzaddikim how to do Teshuva. The true tzaddikim who never sinned in their life, never made bad choices. So I don't know if that answers your question. We went a little far afield there. But that is, you know, it's important to know the look, the attitude, the philosophy, the background. So is that what you're looking for? If not...
Yes. Thank you so much. One additional question to this, and if it's long, we can move on with the program. But so let's say you know you're about to make a wrong choice and you understand it comes like as a challenge and so on and so forth, there is a reason for it or whatever. Is there a prayer or is there something that you can do to prevent from doing the wrong thing?
Yes. And the answer is, who do you think discusses it? The Gemara discusses it. This is not a new problem, not a unique problem. It's a problem that comes from our grandparents, Adam and Chava. They ate from the tree of knowledge. So we come from very, very powerful people, but we also come from human beings. We're not children of angels, of malachim. We're children of human beings. And this is, so Gemara says, Im pagabach, the language of the Gemara is, Im pagabach menuvalze, if this disgusting creature, meaning the Yetzer Hara is starting up with you, What do you do? Gemara says, what do you do? The Yetzer Hara is starting up with you. Temptation. Very simple. A very simple word. One word. It's called temptation. Person has temptation. What do you do? So the Gemara says, the Gemara is talking to people who are students of Torah, right? So students of Torah, that's who are learning the Gemara. Gemara says, "Mashcheyu lebeis hamedrash." Take him into the Torah, to the study hall. Study Torah. Open up the Chumash. Open up a Tehillim. Open up something. Some Jewish source, and learn or say a prayer. And you're asking if there's a special prayer. Their answer is every prayer is good. Every prayer is good. In the morning, if you take a look in the Siddur, there is a series of prayers that we say every single morning, the very first prayers, and we call them generally brachos, to say the brachos, blessings. There's the first few pages of the davening, of the shacharit davening, the morning davening. There is a prayer that we say every single day, and we say, Hashem, please do not expose me to temptation, to bad people who have bad practices, who are going to make me do bad things. Don't expose me to bad neighbors and bad friends. And if they are, they'll keep me away. So that's a powerful prayer, very powerful prayer. It's scripted by our sages. It's not, you know, something that you have to write yourself. It has a lot of power to it. It's right there in the Siddur, in the prayer book. I can post it later on the chat or the source to it. Every single Siddur has it right at the beginning of the daily prayers in the morning. You can read Tehillim. Tehillim is very powerful. Any chapter in the book of Tehillim. You can study any part of Torah. And the reason that all of these things help is because the belief that I'm mentioning to you, the belief is that we are, without the Yetzer Hara, we would be doing the right thing. In other words, the real us is thinking straight. The drunk us is making the mistake. So when we are sober, we would never make a mistake. We would never do something that we know. Now, it's possible a person does plain doesn't know. That's very, very, very possible. Not everybody Does even people who are religious, who are, so to speak, you know, really holy people, holy Jews, this and that, they might not know that something is not considered to be the right way to act, the right mitzvah to do, or whatever it is. Sometimes there is real lack of clarity in deciding. You know, it might not be a sin what you're about to do, but it might be just the wrong thing for you and in your life. So then you have to pray for clarity. You know, you have to pray that you don't make the wrong move, whether it's a career move or maybe the wrong statement to your spouse, to your child, to your boss, to yourself. Who knows? I mean, there's many levels of you know, confusion or lack of clarity, better way of saying it, maybe in our life, when if we do this, we're going to get messed up. If we don't, it may not be an outright sin, like something that we know clearly is the Torah forbids. It may just be we're not sure how to act. So then you have to pray for clarity. You have to pray for, or very, very good thing to do is to reach out to a friend. Many times, the lack of clarity in our life comes from the fact that we have self-love. In the language of the sages, ahavat atzmo, self-love, mechase al kol pshayim, covers up all blemishes, all faults. We don't see our own faults. So then we turn to somebody else. Many times that somebody else could be a spouse who's very close to us, obviously, and then knows that, you know, you're kidding yourself, you're fooling yourself, you're not doing the right thing. You're thinking this way because of personal, inclinations, personal things that are not, you're not thinking straight. You shouldn't do that. So for that reason, we always pray for a chaver tov, a good friend. Chassidim always had this concept of a fabrengen. A fabrengen is literally, it's just a Yiddish word that means to get together. But Chassidim would get together and they would talk to each other and they would say, you know, literally like bawl each other out in a good way. You're acting like this. I don't think it's right. And obviously, they took a little couple of l'chaims, so it made it a little easier for the person to accept it. So this is one of the major concepts, actually, in Chassidus, in the ways of, it's called Darkei HaChassidus, the ways of the Chassidim, is this concept of Fabrengen. We have always had Nevi'im, prophets, who are bawling us out. And today is especially a day, a fast day, the custom always was in all the communities that the rabbi, the preacher, you know, the spiritual figurehead of the community would say what's called divrei kibushim, which means words of bawling out, words of rebuke, because that's what we need to hear. So Hashem sends us messages. Sometimes the messages is we get a little rebuke from an enemy or from a stranger. And we say, why did that person insult me? And they say, well, maybe it's something I'm doing. Maybe I need to rethink what I'm doing. So Hashem is sending us, and that's another very principal Jewish belief, that Hashem sends us many, many little messages all over. And Hashem is running the world. We believe in the HP moment. We believe in Hashgacha Pratius. We believe in divine providence. So all kinds of negative things that happen in our life, we believe are there because Hashem is trying to wake us up. Hashem is giving us a little nudge on the shoulder. So just to recap, the way to try, at least, and we're not always successful. But if you know that you're about to do something or you're being schlepped in a direction that you don't want to be schlepped and you're trying to avoid it, so study Torah, open up to Tehillim, say a prayer, tell a friend, please schlep me out of this. You don't have to say exactly what it is, but you can say, you know, have a conversation, schlep me out of this, help me. Very powerful. The previous Lubavitcher Rebbe used to say that when two Jews get together to help each other in spiritual matters, you have incredible energy. Why do you have incredible energy? Because each nefesh elokis, each godly soul, each neshama that we have, and every Jew has a neshama, right? So each neshama is interested in doing the right thing for themselves and also helping their friend, because that's the nature of the neshama. The neshama wants spirituality, holiness in the world in general, and the neshama loves every Jew, every one of inside of our neshamas. We are all connected. The yetzahara, on the other hand, the evil inclination, doesn't care to make somebody. My yetzahara doesn't want to mess you up. Your yetzahara doesn't want to mess me up, because yetzahara is something Hashem gave us in order to give us free choice, not in order to destroy the world. So the Yetzirah is particular. It only cares about its host. The nefesh, elikis, the godly soul, is not particular. The nefesh elikis wants to do good for the whole world. So the Rebbe says, when two Jews get together, you have one yetzahara for each person, but you have two nefesh elikis. You have two godly souls, two neshamas. So as soon as you reach out to a friend for help, please help me, give me a word of encouragement, schlep me out of this, whatever it is, you have right away extra energy. Right away you have a booster pack. Right away it's like you're putting an extra battery on and you have more power right away. So don't be afraid to reach out to a good friend, obviously not to make yourself vulnerable, this and that, but you reach out to a good friend and you say, give me a word of encouragement, give me something to pick me up. It is very powerful. It's a mini farbrengen. It's a mini farbrengen. You don't have to have an appointment to have a farbrengen. You could have a bottle of alcohol, which I'm not saying it's not a good thing, and it doesn't. Maybe you shouldn't do that, but these are the ways. You say a prayer to Hashem. You reach out to a friend. You study Torah. Do all three, and if a person really wants, the Gemara tells us, Hashem puts his thumb on the scale, and Hashem says, no matter how powerful the Yetzirah is, I will make that Yetzirah, that evil, that temptation, I will make it disappear. Not only will you not be fighting with it, but you will be elevated. You'll be on a level that you'll laugh and will say, ha, how could I ever have been tempted by such a thing that doesn't speak to me anymore? So that's all topical. It's all topical, especially for this time of year, and especially for today, which is Tzom Gedalia, the fast of Gedalia, fast day, when we try, and a fast day specifically in the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, the 10 days of Teshuva. So Hashem recognizes at the end of the day that we are fragile, we are frail, we are incomplete, we are subject to constantly making the same mistakes. It's very sad when you think about it. Constantly making the same mistakes, don't you learn? You look at Jewish history, and essentially it's one big repetition. Don't you learn from history? But the answer is, learning from history and acting differently are two different things. Intellectually, what that means is connecting the intellectual. What we know in our head should be the right thing to do. And the emotional, the way we feel, and the action, the way we act, if lining up all those three things, that our head should be thinking straight and our heart and our emotions should be wanting the right thing and not the wrong thing. And then our actions should be doing. That's a big, big deal. It's not easy. It's not simple. We can be completely understanding right and even wanting the right thing. But then when it comes to doing the right thing, all of a sudden we get afraid. Who am I? I'm not going to do it. It's too expensive. It's too this. I'm going to put myself out. This is not me. I never did it before. Or this is much easier. Or at the end of the day, I'm not going to stand up against all this. Many, many, many reasons, even if a person wants and understands. So we pray to Hashem for the strength, for the energy. That's what our davening, by the way, is all about. Our davening during the daytime, and the reason that we spend so many minutes of the day, especially in the morning prayers, davening, is because we are essentially asking Hashem for the ability to put, first of all, for the understanding. And that's the first blessing in the Shemona Esrei. Hashem, give us understanding that we should understand the right thing. But then we're asking for strength, plain and simple. Give us the kayach, the strength, to be able to do that which we have now understood. And it's far from simple, but it is absolutely possible. If not, Hashem would not give us the task. And so therefore, that's a davening. That's a davening every day. That's a davening of Rosh Hashanah, davening of Yom Kippur. All the same thing. Give us the seichel to understand. Give us the emotions to want, to actually want to be that person that we understand we should be. And not, you know, understanding one thing, but I really want to be something else. Give that synthesis of the heart and mind. Make the heart and mind come together. Give us the kayak, give us the strength to actually do it. And at the same time, you have to have resources. You know, you want to be sending your kids to school, to Jewish school, and it's expensive. And you want to be buying kosher food, and it's expensive. You want to be taking off your work on Shabbos, but you don't have a job that allows you to do that. So we ask Hashem, give us the money to be able to do all these things. We believe that money comes from God, not just health, but money comes from Hashem, obviously, and everything comes from Hashem. Hashem creates every aspect of the world. All of this is the reason that we are studying together now in general, the reason we study Torah. It's the reason we have Rosh Hashanah again and Yom Kippur and all these things. So this is all topical. You can study all day long, but if you don't connect the dots, what's the point of studying? What's the point? You can read books and you can read chapters and you could know concepts and you could know everything. But if it doesn't impact your life and it doesn't make you a different person or the person that you really know you could be, then I hate to say it, it's worse than wasting your time. Then you're taking powerful information, powerful opportunities. It's like a person who gets $1 million to invest and just throws it to the wind. How sad is that? So Hashem gives us information, and Hashem gives us opportunity, and now it's up to us to connect those dots, to bring it together in our life. And again, why do we have all this Jewish guilt? Because we recognize that our power, our potential, and we don't live up to it. If we would live up to it, Mashiach would be here. So it's a little depressing. Yes, it is. The Alter Rebbe in Tanya, the first chapters of Tanya, speaks exactly about this type of depression that a person has from lack of spiritual fulfillment and accomplishment when you know you should be acting a certain way. The Alter Rebbe says, this is called not depression. This is called bitterness over your lack of advancement. Once you redefine the terms, I'm not depressed anymore. I'm upset over my lack of spiritual standing. Well, if you're truly upset, you're going to do something about it. So the Alter Rebbe says it's actually a positive. It's not a negative. It's a positive. If you're not upset, then you don't recognize you have the $1 million that you've just wasted. But if you're truly upset, Alter Rebbe says this is called in Latin Hebrew, it's not called atzvut, which means sadness or depression. It's called merirut, which means literally bitterness or being upset at your lack of success. Well, that's the motivation. If you don't feel that you can rise higher, person doesn't feel in their job, let's say, that you I'm making a certain amount of money, but I should really be making 10 times that amount. And I got to really, if you don't feel that, then you're never going to, if you're not hungry, as they say, for additional levels of success, then you're never going to advance. And that's another major point of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that we should take ourselves away in this time of the year. We should take ourselves away from the complacency, from being so excited about what we've accomplished, and recognize what we could accomplish and have become hungry for that accomplishment. So that's another reason for the fast day. Instead of being hungry for food, you say, no more food. Now I want to think about spirituality. How can I get more spirituality in my life? So that's all topical stuff. So I think anybody has any other things they want to raise or clarify?
Thank you.
All right. I think maybe with this, it's a good talk for today. We don't have to necessarily talk about the technical parts of the Tanya. We will continue that. This is a good message, I think, for this time. And we'll continue, Amir Tzashem. We have, obviously, next Monday is not a day. It's a day for putting into practice, a day for coming closer. So Yom Kippur is called Echad Bashana. Echad Bashana, the singularity of the year. It's a day when our sages tell us, and especially the mystical side, that our neshama has ability to shine in a way that is not possible the rest of the year. Chassidus and Zohar teaches that there are five levels to the neshama. The five levels to neshama are called nefesh, lowest level, then ruach, then neshama, then chaya, and yechida. On the day of Yom Kippur, the highest of the five levels, the level called yechida, is able to be felt in our space, in our physical space. Hashem unlocks that energy, which ordinarily is accessible only to the greatest of tzaddikim. Greatest of tzaddikim live with the yechida energy. that Mashiach is called the Yechida of the generation, that, that high level of connectedness, of feeling, of Hashem's closeness. But on the day of Yom Kippur, each Jew is given a little taste of our own personal Yechida, our own personal high level of energy. And therefore, we're able to make resolutions. We're able to feel certain spiritual powers that we just plain can't feel the rest of the year. And also, therefore, the day of Yom Kippur heals lots of stuff that happened in the past year. The day of Yom Kippur itself, because there is such an incredible amount of energy that's just there, it heals and it covers up lots of blemishes, lots of stuff. And after the day of Yom Kippur, we're like new people. We're like fresh people. You have to think, I always think to myself about the streets. When you have the streets are all broken up and you're driving on the streets and it's all thing, and then a truck comes and puts down new, fresh tar. All right, it's a little smelly, but after that, it's a smooth street. It fills up all the holes. There's no more holes. It's brand new. And Hashem gives us this, I don't want to call it tar, but this energy. And you can use any analogy that works for you. It's just an analogy. And after that, we are brand new. Everything is smooth. Everything is easy. Everything is fresh. So Yom Kippur is, and we work, we got to work to that, obviously. If you don't prepare yourself, you're not going to feel it. Prepare yourself during these 10 days. We say a little extra Tehillim every single day. The custom is actually from the Baal Shem Tov's times that we say additional Tehillim from the beginning of the month of Elul, and we read the whole book of Tehillim from Elul until Yom Kippur. Many people say the whole book of Tehillim on the night of the Chabad custom always was. The Rebbe used to stay in shul after the davening on Yom Kippur night, after Ma'ariv and Kol Nidre and Ma'ariv, and the whole shul read the entire book of Tehillim together. These are all powerful mechanisms and all powerful energy-giving actions that allow us to soak up the extra energy of Yom Kippur, which obviously is next Sunday night and Monday. So therefore, that's what we're working on right now, to be able to have this energy and to be able to have this awareness that there is the energy, and then to soak it up and become a little different. And we know that we're going to mess up. We know we're not going to live out the year, continue the year with on the same high that we have on Yom Kippur. We know this. It's just that we're not tzaddikim. Let's not fool ourselves. But we also know that Hashem is always giving us opportunities and abilities, and all we have to do is try. And we get credit. We get credit for trying, even if you mess up every single time you try. The beauty of Hashem's relationship with us is we get credit for each time we try.